Hey, this is Doc Mike. Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Thanks for joining me here live on Real Liberty Media. If you want to catch the show live, come to Real Liberty Media Saturdays from now on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I just made that executive decision. I was kind of sticking with the middle of the day on Saturday because, well, Grimner asked me to do a show in the middle of the day on Saturday. And, well, actually gave me a couple choices, and that was the best time slot, I guess. But things are different now. I think we are going to move this show to 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, and we'll see what happens. But that'll probably work out better. So the reason I'm a little bit, the reason the show was delayed today is because I wanted to get some manure on the north pasture, which is about 2.5 acres, and the neighbors have a bunch of horse manure that they've been piling up. So I was like, okay, we'd been planning on doing this for a while, but things kind of have to line up just right. I mean, if you really want to maximize the benefit, you look for, you know, time when the weather is perfect, the day is perfect, the coming weather is perfect, and this is what we're looking at. You know, the new term for day after day of rain here in the Pacific Northwest is the atmospheric river. They used to call it the Pineapple Express, but I guess that was probably offensive to somebody. Who knows? I don't know. But they changed it to atmospheric river. So we have an atmospheric river headed our way for the next week, basically. And today, so the last few days were really cold, icy, wind, you know, just kind of miserable. And today was actually kind of nice. It got up to maybe close to 50-ish in the middle of the day. Yeah, probably 46, 48, something like that. And we did our morning errands around here for Saturday, and then we started thinking about getting that north pasture fertilized, and it was like, man, you know, now is a perfect time because we're really probably going to be out of winter type weather, and the rain would be perfect because it's going to kind of, you know, wash down the manure, kind of dilute it, help spread it out. So basically what I was doing, I don't have a spreader yet, so I was picking up buckets of manure with the tractor, and then I had a steel rake on the back, you know, one made for a tractor, and I would just dump the manure, and then, you know, just keep driving, and the rake would spread it and thin it out, and, you know, it worked out pretty good. So it's kind of funny, my neighbor said he wasn't sure that, you know, how much manure we could put on the north pasture. And I looked at his pile and I go, oh, we'll easily get all that on there. And yeah, sure enough, it didn't even do a quarter of it, really. But anyway, so that's why I'm kind of late. That's why we delayed the show. But looking forward, actually, this would be perfect for me anyway to do the show at 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. And then I also do one on 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, too. So actually, I'll have two time slots. They'll both be the same, 9 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday and Saturday. I think that'll work out good. And I won't have to kind of stop whatever I'm doing in the middle of the day Saturday and do the show, which I love doing the show anytime, honestly. I'll tell you how crazy I am about kind of the setup I have. I was literally kind of my wife and I doing our thing today, doing chores in town, and we had to pick up some meds and pick up some supplies for chickens and some dirt for potting some plants and getting vegetable starts going. And I was just like, we were just like driving home, and I was like, man, I really love the audio setup I have now. I'm telling you, it's just kind of one of those weird things. I just really enjoy it. Also, I wanted to mention, if you guys want to join the chat, come on over to Real Liberty Media. The site, reallibertymedia.com. And there's a chat room there. Get in the chat room, introduce yourself. A lot of good conversations going on there, a lot of great peeps in there. And yeah, you'll learn some stuff. And go ahead and say something stupid and see what happens. I'm kidding. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm not. I am sort of kidding. It's a chat room. Take your chances. It's fun. Okay. Started off with War, the song, because I did want to talk about that a little bit. Because there's so many things like coming at us, you know. Part of what I like to do on this show is talk about being prepared, you know, having some plans for surviving any amount of time, short term, medium length, long term survival. And I was thinking, you know, who knows what's going to happen with this Russia-Ukraine thing. I'm half interested in it and half not interested in it. There's more important things, I think, for me personally here in the United States. Oh, good. Thanks, Grammy. Anyway, I think there's more important things for me personally to worry about than Ukraine and Russia. Honest to God, I'd say I don't care. I sort of care. But I really, like, I have much higher priorities a lot closer to home than Ukraine and Russia. Hang on one sec. Be funny if I turned my mic off and forgot to turn it back on. That'd be cool. that'd be entertaining. Actually, somebody would let me know pretty quickly on chat, I'm sure. And that's another good thing. Come into chat and you can talk about whatever's going on the shows that we have. I know tomorrow we're going to have a show. Rob Works is going to host a show. I believe it's going to be music and trivia. So you can get in the chat room and play a trivia game, and, you know, a lot of people in there play. I would, but I'm usually not reading the chat, so I'm usually reading other stuff or watching videos or who knows what. But the music is awesome, you know, and you can play the game right along with everybody else and have some fun. And then Hal Anthony will have Behind the Woodshed at 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So those shows are really good. So come in, drop by, have some fun, and, you know, enjoy some content. Also, it looks like we have more people going to start doing some shows. So I'm looking forward to that. And, man, did I get sidetracked, didn't I, on the whole chat room thing? Okay, so I was talking about survival, and I was wondering if people who have thought about preparing themselves for any eventuality, you know, if it looks different now, today, than it did a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. The reason I'm saying that is because I have always had some kind of desire, not really to survive. I think initially this started out as just wanting, like, good food all year long. And I remember when I was at the University of Oregon, I was got a Bachelor of Arts in biology. We would go get, you know, bulk food in season and do canning or somehow preserve those foods. And for me, it was not at the time like, hey, we need to have food in case, you know, the world ends, basically. It was just that I wanted to have, like, fresh peaches, or one of my other favorites is this spicy green bean that you can, and it's got kind of a dill, I don't know what you call it, like pickling juice, and a little bit of red pepper flake, and garlic, of course, and man, I just love those things. So I just wanted to learn how you do that stuff. So I learned how to do that stuff. But as time went on, I kind of just kept doing it. Yes, yes, spicy green beans are awesome. I agree. But I wanted, I just kept doing it. And it seems like as I aged, I just added more and more things. So for me, like this time right now with Russia and Ukraine going on, and there's all kinds of propaganda out there. I mean, you hear things about Putin threatening the Netherlands and who else? Finland, I think. And he threatened Poland. He threatened NATO. If you, killer zucchini bread and butter pickles. Oh my goodness. I bet that's good. That sounds good. Yeah, I get distracted by shiny things and food suggestions. But anyway, there is a ton of propaganda out there. You know, Putin threatened NATO. He said if we do anything to aid, you know, we'll be a target. He said he threatened Finland and the Netherlands and Germany, I hear today. Now, this is some of the propaganda I'm just spewing, basically. I heard Germany was going to send, I don't know, something, anti-aircraft missiles or artillery, who knows what. But here's the deal. Like, we have kind of a crisis going on in our country right now. And I think part of this is the political parties, obviously, are, especially the Democrats, are going to try and distract from everything that's gone on in this country for the past 2 years by making whatever it is, they can get us to focus on. Oh, my little buddy. Okay. Anyway, the political parties, I think, are going to take advantage of this situation to distract us from what they've done to us for the last 2 years, which is kind of funny because, like, right at this point, people are starting to really go after the system. Like, people are starting to file lawsuits. They're starting to file complaints. They're starting to file criminal investigations. They're starting to protest. We have the American Trucker Convoy, which I don't know how much ground it's going to gain when they drop all these, I just want to explain something to you guys because I'm getting distracted. Sorry. But I have a really old dog. He is a miniature Australian Shepherd, Quigley. You might not have heard me mention him before on the show, but I'm going to pick him up. Ugh. But he is in the room with me today because the little pup, the mini Australian Shepherd, kind of picks on him once in a while. I don't know if it's just because he's old or, you know, just because he wants to pick on him or just because he's a puppy and he wants somebody to play with and poor old Mr. Quigley is too old to want to play. He doesn't want to be fussed with. So he was sitting at my feet kind of pawing at me, so I picked him up, and he's sitting on my lap now. So, he wants to get down. All right. Before we get back to war and all the propaganda going on there, I was going to tell you guys, it is almost my one-year anniversary here on Real Liberty Media. And for fun, I thought I would go back and pull some sound bites from the year. You know, I was going to take little pieces of shows from the last year, and maybe I'll do that on Wednesday, I don't know. Because I'll tell you what happened instead. What happened was I went back and listened to some of the shows, and I kind of, you know, if the title was interesting, I'd look for that part to put, you know, to take a little bite and put it in a montage. But man, some of the audio was so terrible that I couldn't, it was like distracting to listen to it. So I'm glad that you guys have put up with me for a year. And I'm really glad that the audio has continued to get better and better and better, I think. So I'm very appreciative. Can you imagine like how crazy a year this has been? So I was invited to come to Real Liberty Media in February. I barely got my I kind of got my act together enough by what, June or July, when Grimner became ill. And then, you know, from July to, you know, December, you know, we lost Grimner. And I think I continued to kind of just plug along at the show, hoping that we would keep this thing going. And, you know, just mainly keep it going. I think at one point I was thinking, okay, we were going to grow this thing for Grimner or for whoever. But really right now, you know, it's kind of at this point where we're going to keep it going. It is going. And we have people who are going to do more shows. But it's crazy, in that 1 year, all of that stuff transpired. And you guys know, if you've listened to many of my past shows, I always talk about my Forrest Gump life. And think about this. Like, in February, late February of 2021, I started this podcast. And here we are a year later, and all of that stuff transpired. And it's just crazy to me. And, you know, and I put my show up on Rumble and BitChute and some podcast host, Buzzsprout, and it goes out from there. And we're trying to get the shows all going back to where they have always been, like Spreaker. I don't even know how to do that. What was the other one? There was one, BitChute, I think, has a pretty big following on it. But I don't think we know how to get it on there. I know how to get my podcast on there. I don't know how to get Real Liberty Media's content over there. But hopefully we'll figure that out soon. Okay, so that was my little distraction and talking about the last year. But, you know, when you hear me talk about my Forrest Gump life, you have actually been a witness to a year of it. I got to wet the whistle. I got to wet the pipes here a minute. Oh, grapefruit. Oh, Grammy. Well, then how do we get shows on there? I'll have to get with you later and figure that out. Okay, so I was talking about all the propaganda that's going to come with this war between Russia and Ukraine. I know. Thank you very much, Grammy. I appreciate it. Now we just got to figure out how to keep it going. Lost my train of thought. Hang on. I'm gonna need some seltzer. I'm going to need some smelling salts here in a second. I'm kidding. I'm fine. The propaganda between Ukraine and Russia. We're going to hear a lot of it. You know, we've already heard a lot of it. One of the things that I heard this week that I was concerned about for a little bit. Thank you. it's always nice to have somebody remember what you were talking about to get back on track. Thank you very much. Okay. One of the things that I heard recently, and I was like, that ain't going to happen, was when they were talking about how Russia's going to hack the United States and take down the internet and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not going to worry about that. That's not going to happen. And then I remembered, oh, crap, the tech companies are all in the Dems' pocket. So it doesn't even have to come from Russia. I mean, the tech companies would probably themselves just block internet to certain places, certain traffic, or make it look like we've been hacked and we don't have access and we can't get, you know, we can't order from Amazon, or we can't listen to our favorite podcast, or, you know, get the news that's coming out of like the independent news sources. So I wouldn't be surprised. Now, at first I was thinking, that's just another one of those things that they want us to be afraid of, which they do. You know, they do want us to be afraid of whatever. You know, the whole damn pandemic thing, man, you know, seeing the numbers coming out now about this pandemic. Now, a lot of us who hang out at Real Liberty Media in the chat room and listen to the shows, we've known this stuff for pretty much the duration. And then I see the CDC is actually withholding information on some of the data that they have. Well, you could just say on all of the data they have. They've used it to misrepresent the entire time. They've used it to keep Americans scared the entire time, when really there was nothing to be afraid about. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's pretty effective. It's been pretty effective. Even if you think, even if you know that your chances of dying from COVID are minuscule, it's still, my brain does stupid stuff. Today's a perfect example. One of the kids who spent time away from the compound here at Redneck Dentist Homestead, he was with his other grandparents, and he was sitting in the room with me. He was playing a video game before the show, and he was sitting in the room here with me. That was Sammy. He's like six, I think. And I heard him sniffling, like really sniffling. And I said, "Sammy, are you sick?" And he says, "No, I just have so much snot." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I go, let's have you blow your nose. So we get some Kleenex. He blows his nose, and then he tells me his eyes hurt. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. You know, his nose is stuffy, and his eyes are probably burning. So I'm probably going to get sick, you know. So what? So what if I get sick, for crying out loud? But the constant infiltration of our brains for the last 2 years, you know, you to completely block that out when you're surrounded by it, when everybody around you, I mean, outside of our house here, is constantly talking about it or referring about to, or telling you how somebody they know had COVID and they were sick and whatever. So you almost, you know, and to be honest, I don't like being sick at all, because I don't like being sick. And you've heard me talk about the stuff I do to avoid being sick. You know, I'm not like a germaphobe, but I do a lot of stuff to help boost my immune system. And that's about it. I'm not a health freak at all. I exercise 30 minutes a day. I eat crappy, cheesy bacon burgers whenever I can, and sausage gravy and biscuits. But so just to show you, I am not a health food nut, but I do certain things to help my immune system fight disease, because I just don't like being sick, period. And I've been doing that for, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that. So, but still, you know, the fear-mongering that took place and continues even to this week, maybe today, I didn't see any stuff today, but yeah, you know, you constantly hear it, and I guess it does kind of creep in and make you think about, you know, the possibility of getting COVID. And then, you know, and then I have to come back to reality. Okay, so what if I get COVID? Oh, well. You know, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to survive or I'm not. I mean, it's just like every other day of your life. You're either going to survive or not. Simple. Okay. What else did the CDC do? Oh, yeah, it altered key measures. What did it do? Yeah, they changed the way they measured. Drastically alters key measure that influences mask mandates across the U.S. So, of course, then they came out and said, hey, you don't need to wear masks anymore, you know, in certain places, or at least where these cases aren't so high, which is stupid, like stupid. So I don't know what they're planning next. I know the Russia-Ukraine war isn't going to be enough to distraction for long enough. So they have something else planned. Get ready. Don't eat poop. Where did that even come from? Yeah, Putin killed COVID. No kidding. I've heard so many funny things, like, did the Ukrainians ask to see their vaccine passports before they came across the border and make sure they're all wearing a mask and all this stuff is pretty damn funny. Oh, I know. I shouldn't make light of war, I guess, anywhere, but the memes have been kind of funny. Yeah, those, they destroyed like 8 bioweapons labs in Ukraine, and we see how all of these leaders in the United States are tied to them. Pelosi and others have interest in those bioweapons labs. Hey, you know, I honestly don't blame Putin in a way for getting rid of those especially, but he could have just targeted those and taken them out so quickly. God, got so far away from the propaganda, but that's okay. You kind of get my point. Oh, yeah, I know what I was saying is, like, my priorities are, you know, well, God, and I know some of you aren't, but God, my family, you know, my home, my kids, you know, and then outside of that, it gets pretty diffuse where I'm gonna place my efforts to help people personally. Friends, yeah, I would say friends, but really it's, you know, it's more important that I make sure that we have a way to get food, get supplies, stay safe. And, you know, in this country right now, I'm not looking outside the borders of Oregon much, much less the United States, much less halfway around the globe at 2 other countries. I mean, I wish the Ukrainian people well, but honest to God, you know, that's why we're putting manure in the North Pasture. We've never grown anything in the North Pasture before, but here we are fertilizing 2.5 acres. You suppose, you think I just did that so the horses would have good green grass? I mean, yeah, sort of, but no. Anyway, okay, so rambling a little bit, but you get my point. So, you know, much more important for me to kind of concentrate my efforts on what's going on here. So anyway, back to the beginning here. We did that business in the North Pasture because all of the days and the weather lined up perfectly to do that today versus like any other time I could see coming and any time that's been behind us, because obviously it was cold, it was freezing, like 19 degrees and a wind chill, so the ground was frozen. You know, now was a good time to do it, so that's why we did that. Okay, let's look at what we have in the, oh, I did see that, you know, Bill Gates was, oh, he had some response to Omicron being like, and this is what I said from the very beginning. Well, no, not quite, but you know, after I gained a little knowledge and remembered that I had a degree in biology, I actually studied under this guy Stahl, who was one of the guys who helped Watson and Crick actually describe DNA. But Stahl was a virus guy, and I remembered, you know, my schooling from University of Oregon, working under Dr. Stahl, and remembering that we're basically going to have to be exposed to this virus before we ever achieve herd immunity. And one of the shows I was looking for to take a cut from was the show where I talked about how the vaccine wasn't a vaccine at all. It didn't protect you. It didn't prevent you from spreading it. It, you know, it couldn't, they couldn't possibly actually claim that it shortened your days of sickness because they haven't had it long enough to be able to do that. And it's a very subjective measurement. You can't actually, I've said it before, you can't infect somebody and measure how long they were sick and then give them a vaccine and then infect them again and see if the sickness is shorter or vice versa. You can't do it. So you can't compare two people and say, well, this person was sick, 7 days and this person was sick 10 days and one of them got the vax and because of that, their time was shorter. You can't. And I've explained why, because people have different responses to, infections and you don't know if you shorten their amount of time being sick or not. So the vaccine was total hoax. Gates even admitted at one time that, it didn't work very well and they were going to have to figure out another way to, another way to jab us. So you all know that something else is coming because they got to try the new platform. And I've said for a long time, I think the next thing will probably be something deadlier because a lot of us just aren't going to do it, period. And they'll know that, and then they'll release something that really kills you and maybe have a vax that keeps you alive. But it doesn't matter. Either way, they're going to kill a bunch of us. I did notice, who was that? The Lancet came out with a study that young people were having these multiple inflammatory something disorder. And it was people who had been vaxxed, and it was these young people who, and this was a study that just came out in the last couple of days. I wonder if I actually made notes. So I did. Look at that. Well, let's go see what it says. And it says, rare multi-system inflammatory syndrome detected in vaccinated young, and it's a Lancet study. Some vaccinated youngsters in the 12 to 20 age group have reported a hyper-inflammatory condition where the body's immune system goes into overdrive and shows symptoms of fever and systemic inflammation involving multiple organ systems, according to a study published Tuesday. There were a total of 5,973 cases of multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children reported to whatever system they used to report it. And it goes on to say, let's see, and this was a peer-reviewed study. Hey, this was a peer-reviewed study. Nothing like the studies that the CDC put out to say that their vaccines were safe. None of those studies were peer-reviewed. In fact, none of them were actually studies. If you're a scientist and actually still believe in science. So, there's still going to be things coming at us because of the way human beings were treated in the past 2 years. And it's terrible that we actually, I don't understand how anybody ever got to the point of allowing children to be vaccinated. The sad thing is, I see the local residents of Oregon on the local news when they do interview people for, for this kind of thing, like, hey, your kids are going to school. Do you think they ought to wear masks or not wear masks? You wouldn't believe how many of these idiot parents say, well, I don't want my kid getting whatever. And even have these parents whose kids have whatever ailment, I'm not going to make fun of anybody, but just name an ailment and they say, oh, but my child has special needs. Well, it's not really special needs. He's got dermatitis, Oh, but he's got to be protected from COVID. Well, no, he doesn't. I mean, if you actually went anywhere beyond the mainstream media and found information, which of course was hard to find because, you know, big tech censoring everything, making everybody believe the scary stories. If you went beyond that, you would, and educated yourself, but of course your kids are in public school, so it's probably not very high importance that you educate yourself either. Wow, I sound really snotty, but I mean, the truth is, you have to go look for information. You have to educate yourself. You have to question authority. I mean, even countries who have succumbed to socialism and communism will tell you, you know, when they start censoring everything and only one side is being told, it's happening. And, you know, individually, you're the only one who can educate yourself and protect your children. So I can't believe that we got to the point where we were vaccinating thousands of school-aged kids to protect them from something that's probably about as rare as drowning in a swimming pool. That's actually drowning, period, which is actually kind of one of the major ways that young kids die is by drowning. But yeah, we got the vax in them. You know, we had to get the vax in them, so now they're all vaxxed. And now, and for years to come, we are going to see what this vax has done to young people and old people alike. And I think there's a price to be paid, and we're going to see it as time goes on. And I hope to God that institutions of higher learning actually reclaim their positions as being able to produce data that's reliable. And of course, a lot of them have been bought off by big corporations. So, you know, if they want to continue to receive those monies, they have to make their reports say what those corporations want them to say. On the other hand, a lot of private institutions of higher learning, you know, aren't beholden to big corporations. I mean, there's big money supporting them, yeah. But they also have some freedom in producing data and studies that are not so influenced by the money that's behind them. And I can't wait to see some of those things. I mean, it's going to be interesting. And I think more and more people are being fed up to the point where they're ready to resist at any cost. I saw the story this week about the woman who was live streaming the January 6th incident, the party at the Capitol that, you know, turned into, what do they call it? I forgot what they called it already. It wasn't a resurrection. It's the other word, an insurrection. But so they gave her some prison time, and I say, hey, good for you, man. You did it. And I know they're just trying to scare people, that they really are just trying to scare people that, hey, don't live stream, you know, because we're doing something here. I'm saying live stream, man. And you know what we should really do? Not GoFundMe, not give, send, go. We ought to literally, you know, ask that person's family for their address and send her cashier's checks or gold or silver or I don't know, Bitcoin, something, you know, because she paid the price. And instead of running and being scared, and this week I was talking about how we are the new media, you know, live streamers are the new media. And thank God she was there. Thank God she was live streaming, because it keeps people accountable. You know, when Kent State happened, whenever that was, it was in the 60s, I think. Maybe, no, it was in the 60s. I was going to say 70s. I can't remember. I was pretty young then, but it was either in the late 60s or, yeah, it had to have been late 60s. Yeah, there was no live streaming. I mean, there were maybe news, you know, crews nearby, maybe during or after. I think I've seen footage, so there had to have been somebody there, but it, you know, but you couldn't, I don't know if you could actually live capture stuff on film then and get it on a TV at the same time. It seems to me it had to go through several steps. Oh, it was 1970. Thank you. But I mean, the more cameras we have, the better, because they're not going to be able to stop them all. And I say, man, if you have an opportunity to live stream some event, you know, no matter what it is, if it's a public event, if it involves, you know, police, sheriffs, government agents of any sort, by that I mean elected or appointed or hired government people, man, live stream this. Live stream everything. Or get your phone out and be capturing it at the very least, because it's the only way that we're going to constantly hammer the mainstream media about telling lies. And I think that's what people are really tired of. Even the people who aren't really politically active, but they're just tired of being lied to. And it's something else I was thinking this week. I mean, my entire life, the government has lied. And I'm sure a lot of you have felt that same thing. But it's kind of weird. I used to think, like, they would lie about big stuff, you know, like they would just, like they would lie about, well, the war in Vietnam is a great example. You know, like there would, you know, there was like why we were in Vietnam. Well, there wasn't really a reason given, but we had to go there to protect our civil rights, right? Yeah, okay, I know it's stupid, and I don't mean any disrespect to my military brothers. I really don't. Because we were all kind of stupid at the time, which is why, again, I always question the protesters from the 60s and 70s who said question authority, and now they're falling in lockstep with authority, even the government, like the government's the gods now. And that kind of irony dichotomy really trips me up. But yeah, a lot of us didn't have any idea why and what we were doing at that time. Fortunately, don't mistake me, I wasn't in Vietnam. I was went in the service at the very end when they were tidying everything up. So I was pretty well, you know, protected from doing that. But now it's like we went through this period and people, you know, we've gotten to the bottom of the barrel as far as I'm concerned. As far as the people who we're going to nominate and elect for a president of the United States, that you just have to constantly lie. Like, one of my rules is, you know, the three professions that make their living on lying is lawyers, actors, and politicians. I mean, they constantly lie. Their profession is to be really good at lying. And at least probably in my stupid, naive, younger years, like I probably thought that, you know, they tried to tell the truth and that they were mostly honest. And maybe they weren't my entire life. Maybe they've all been liars my entire life. But as I got older, I realized, holy hell, they're lying about every single thing. I mean, I don't trust one single thing our government says, government elected officials, none of them, because I know that, you know, the first opportunity they have to break that promise, or if they get caught in a lie, you know, and they're going to constantly be caught, you know, they're going to make some excuse for it, and they're going to make it look like, well, you know, we had, you know, I said that at the time because that was, you know, it was important for us to make that point, or it was important that I protect that information or protect somebody. And it all comes out in the end. So the more people we have challenging the truth put out by the mainstream media, You know, when we have evidence of the truth, it's going to be powerful. Yeah, thanks. Got to get a drink. Hang with me here a second. And yeah, when I say naive, you know, the reason I called this show the Redneck Dennis Show is because I am really kind of a normal guy. I really did grow up in a little logging town here in Oregon. I really didn't think I was much of a student in high school. I didn't have big aspirations of doing anything. I kind of just wanted to live life, be comfortable, enjoy life. And I'm not kidding. There are several days during the week when my wife and I have a moment and we just say, we are so lucky to have what we have. And we're so happy being together and doing whatever it is we're doing together. I called this podcast the Redneck Dennis Podcast because I'm a redneck. Seriously. I'm a dentist. Yeah, I made it through that. I made it through that training program. And we didn't have YouTube at the time, so I really actually had to learn how to do that stuff. But honestly, I'm just a guy doing a thing, man, and trying to live life and be happy. And yeah, my priorities are closer to home. But I sure am tired of people lying. And I think, you know, I really feel sorry for the people who still think that they are going to, number one, have a giant, you know, peaceful exchange of power later on this year. You know, people, conservatives who think that there's going to be this massive shift. You've got to be kind of kidding yourself, because everybody who has the power to get information out is going to make Biden look like a genius. I know that's a stretch. It's going to take a lot of video editing to make this happen. and they're probably going to have to keep him away from the microphone a lot. But you just wait. Because I'm waiting within the next couple weeks. You're going to start talking about you're going to start hearing all of his, you know, clones around him, those who are going to be running for re-election and those who are going to be campaigning for those running for election or re-election. They are going to talk about how Biden brought us out of COVID. And did he? Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. So the story, is it going to be true or false? Well, it's both. It's both, because if there was a thing, he got us out of it. But there wasn't a thing. And of course, they have to drop all this stuff now. The mask mandates, the vax mandates, although they're still calling for a yearly vaccination. I don't know how that's going to fly during elections. But I'm telling you, even I had this thought that probably Putin made some deal with Biden. It's like, because Putin wasn't going to get, you know, a cut of the Pfizer money or whatever, Moderna, you know, because Russia didn't own one of the vaccines, and that the United States and Canada was going to rake in all this money for the vaccinations. Maybe Biden said, hey, why don't you just go ahead and attack Ukraine? I know it's good for your economy, and we'll just stand by and do nothing. I mean, that could be one thing. And then, you know, I'm dreaming, I guess, some kind of fantasy world that Putin's going to give Biden a freebie and go like, okay, we're going to leave Ukraine because, you know, Biden told us to. Now, we all know that would be a complete joke because, I mean, if you just look at, I mean, just look at the elected officials in the White House right now and the appointed people that Biden appointed himself. You got to know, I can imagine that anything Biden says, I wish there would be a camera on Putin when Biden says, you know, we're gonna put sanctions in place. It's gonna bring Russia to its knees. He probably literally grabs his stomach and doubles over laughing his ass off because he's seen with his own eyes the people that Biden's put around him. Would you? I would not even be afraid of any of those people surrounding Biden. Well, except for the Secret Service. Let's keep that clear. Yeah, Schwabi, I know. I don't think Putin is. I don't know. You know, I heard this story. The hour went by fast, even with all my rambling around. I heard this story, I wish I would have written down who was saying at the time. Of course, it doesn't matter. It's all hearsay, right? But I heard this story. Oh, I think it was on Timcast, by the way. I could be wrong, but if you're not listening to Timcast, you should listen to Timcast once in a while. I love the guy. I love the whole crew. It's kind of awesome to see young people doing what they're doing and see their perspectives. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not 100% right all the time. They're not even 100% like heading in the right direction, all of them. But jointly, they kind of have these discussions where their minds are open to suggestions. And it's really nice to see in a group of young people, Timcast, IRL. You can find it on BitChute and Rumble. He does it live on YouTube. So if you want to catch it live, you have to go to YouTube, which I won't do. So I have to wait and have it come out a day later or so. But anyway, where was I going with that? God dang it. Oh, no, I know what I was going to tell you. So somebody, and I think it was on Timcast, IRL, said when Trump, and I'm not a Trump supporter, I'm just going to tell you this story because I thought it was interesting. When Trump got in office and he had a discussion with Putin, he said, listen, I know you have plans to expand your territory and invade Ukraine and rebuild your, you know, whatever. But it's not going to happen when I'm president. If you do that, I will drop a nuke on Moscow. And I heard in that same show that he called China and told them the same thing, that if they started a war anywhere in the world, like, you know, Taiwan, he would drop a nuke on Beijing. And I think what happened was that Putin and I forget the leader of China, sorry. I think they both were thinking he might actually do it. I mean, we don't really believe that he knows what he's doing and he's sane enough to make that kind of threat, but he might actually just do it, and that would suck and wipe out two of our major, you know, cities. So, yeah, and then Biden comes out, you know, and tells him he's going to basically, I don't know what, cut off their, I don't even know what, Kleenex supply or I don't know. Like, what is it that we could strangle Russia with by sanctions? I know there's one, and that's the access to SWIFT, I think. And I don't even know what SWIFT is. So I have to educate myself on that too. I'm fairly certain Putin has already kind of war gamed this to the point where he knows, He's already played this out in his mind, and he's got it figured out, and he's going to be just fine. I don't know. The International Exchange Clearinghouse, created at Bretton Woods. SWIFT is the International Exchange Clearinghouse, created at Bretton Woods. Okay, I'll learn something more about that. So I don't know what that is. So it's an International Exchange Clearinghouse. What is it? Where money can be converted to rubles or whatever. I don't know. Okay, so I'll tell you what, I'll look into that and get back with you on the next show. We'll have, I'll learn from somebody about that, and we'll figure out what that is. But my point is, I mean, number one, we don't produce a lot of stuff in the United States, so I don't know that we have anything Russia needs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't produce, like, flat screen TVs. We don't produce Nikes. We don't produce telephones, cell phones. We don't, I don't even know what we produce anymore. So, pretty sure Russia can pretty much handle that, and Putin's already thought about it. So, like I said, he's probably just laughing his ass off about anything that, that Biden says. And NATO, for that matter. I mean, he's already threatened NATO, so I don't think he's really afraid of anything that anybody's going to do to him. Kind of sad for the Ukrainian people. But, hey, but you know, one thing I did hear, they handed out, like, what, 10,000, 100,000 AKs or AR-15s, I can't remember what it was, to civilians. So anytime you hear that, you know, the Democrats are, like, going crazy about supporting, I don't even know. Are they supporting Russia or Ukraine? It seems like they wouldn't support Ukraine because, you know, they're called Nazis and all that stuff. But anyway, the Ukrainian government handed out, I don't know, 10,000, 100,000 automatic rifles to civilians. So whenever you hear, you know, that civilians don't need automatic rifles, I mean, here is a perfect example of why you do need automatic weapons, fully automatic weapons. Although I will have to argue this little bit, that you do waste a bit of ammunition in a fully automatic weapon. It's better to have it semi-automatic, I think. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me later than usual. I appreciate every single one of you, and I really appreciate the knowledge that you guys pass on to me one way or another, either through messages, through chat, emails. I really appreciate it. So let's go out with some, this, I don't know. Yeah, this will be good. Thanks, you guys. I'll see you tomorrow, probably.